Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
All right, sure. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. This is a hand-in-hand parenting teleseminar on the topic of when a new baby comes along. And I'm noticing the time, so I think we're going to get started. I put us into lecture mode for the first part here, and then we'll have time at the end of the call to take questions. And so at that point, we'll kind of have you do a hand raising with star two. Since this call is being recorded, I'm going to pause for just a minute and start the recording. All right. Welcome, everyone, to our teleseminar today, which is called When a New Baby Comes Along with Hand-in-Hand Parenting. My name is Laura Minigrode. I'm a certified instructor with Hand-in-Hand Parenting, and with me is my fellow instructor, Julie Johnson. So we've got a lot of people registered for the call. Before we get to the meat of the teleseminar, I'm going to talk a little bit about Hand-in-Hand Parenting while we let people get on the call and get settled in. Hand in Hand Parenting is a nonprofit organization founded by Patty Whipler in 1989. And previous to 2005, it was known as Parents Leadership Institute. Our mission is to make parenting life what you want it to be, to give you the tools and support you need to lift the difficulties out of your life and bring you closer to your child. Our parenting approach is called Parenting by Connection. And it's an approach that focuses our minds and efforts on creating and maintaining and repairing a really good connection with our children. This approach is really different from most of what's out there. And what we find works best is actually connecting with children. A child's sense of safety, which allows them to learn and thrive, depends on their feeling connected to us. So we offer 6 basic listening tools for promoting parent-child connection and for promoting good support for parents, so that we can think well and we can be there for our children. We have 4 parent-to-child listening tools: special time, stay listening, play listening, and setting limits. And 2 parent-to-parent listening tools: listening partnerships and setting up a parent resource group or parent study group. We offer these listening tools in a myriad of ways. We have numerous free articles on the website, which are growing every day. We have free teleseminars. We have blog posts with parents writing success stories about how they use tools and the hundreds of problems they've solved by connecting with their children. We have self-guided video classes, and our primary parenting tools class is called the Parenting by Connection Starter Class. When you take the starter class, you'll be part of a weekly mentoring and support call while you're learning and practicing the tools. And all of those resources can be found on our website, handinhandparenting.org. And we'll remind you of all of that toward the end of our call. So we've got really a bunch of people joining us today, and we're going to go ahead and get started. Julie and I really want to welcome you and thank you for being here. We know how tough it can be to arrange your schedule and childcare to commit for this hour. And whether you're here with us live right now or listening to the recording, we really appreciate what it took for you to be here. We appreciate your commitment to your family, and we hope that you will come away from this call feeling a little more uplifted with some ideas and resources to make life a little better for you and your family. Julie, would you like to introduce yourself and give a little bit of an introduction?
Sure, yeah. So I'm Julie Johnson, and thanks again, as Laura said, for everyone who's on the line right now. We're really excited to be here this morning, or whatever time it is for you, or afternoon, evening. So I have been working with Hand in Hand. I was trained as an instructor with Hand in Hand about 5 years ago. And before that, I've been in the field of education for a long time. So I've taught in the classroom. I've run groups for kids outside of the classroom. I've taught middle school and high school primarily, worked with older kids, but I've worked with all sorts of different ages outside of the classroom. I have an 8-year-old son and a 13-year-old stepdaughter, and when my son was born, my stepdaughter was really excited about the prospect of having a new baby brother, and was really, you know, looking forward to it and preparing, and then when he came along, the reality was not as, you know, exciting as she had imagined. A lot of feelings cropped up for her, a lot of jealousy and lots of feelings. And so she was having tantrums a lot when she was at our house, and I felt really just unequipped to handle all the tantrums that were coming my way. And so I ended up taking a class with Hand in Hand. Patty Whiffler at the time was the founder, and when my son was about one, and learning the tools that I learned, and that some of which we'll talk about today, really helped me in my relationship with her, and really helped kind of the struggles that we're having as a blended family, the challenges there. And she's 13 now, and we're doing really great, and she's in a really good place, and we have a really close relationship now. I continue to use the tools which we'll talk about today as my kids have gotten older. So I'm really excited to be here this morning. This is a topic that I really love to talk about and think about with people. Mm-hmm. And Laura, did you want to say a little bit about your family? Did you?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Laura Minogrod. I'm actually from I'm in Austin, Texas. And I'm a parent of three kids, and they are 16, 14, and 11. And so this topic is also one that I really love a lot, because the hand-in-hand parenting tools made a huge difference in the growing of our family from one child to two child and two children to three, because those are some really tender and special and intense moments of, those are some really big times emotionally of adding a new child to the family. So I'm just really pleased to be able to talk about this topic and the way that hand-in-hand tools can help us as we go through that really big transition. That's just a little bit about me, and looking forward to talking today.
Yeah, great. Okay, well, I'll go ahead and give a little overview before we jump into the content about what we're going to talk about today. So first we want to give a brief overview of what the tool of special time looks like with a baby. And Laura, you've mentioned special time, and we'll get more into detail in a few minutes about how you can do it with an infant or, you know, an older baby as well. We'll also talk about how to use special time with an older sibling when a new baby comes along, and how that can benefit relationships in the family. We'll also talk about how other people in the family, fathers, partners, grandparents, can use special time with a baby to feel more connected to the baby. And then we want to leave you with some ideas of how to get more support and build community in your life after a baby is born. It can be really, really helpful to think about, you know, ways to get more people involved in your family or, you know, around you. And we'll talk about different ideas that we have for some support. So let's get started with the content. And I want to start with talking about special time and what it looks like with an infant. You know, one of the things that I love about this tool is that it can be used at any age. It just looks different at different ages. So it's something you can do, you know, with a baby, or it's something that you can do with your child when they go off to college, and everywhere in between. So so it just needs to be adapted, obviously, to the different ages. So with a baby, you know, I think I want to say that because special time is a certain kind of one-on-one time, I want to just kind of acknowledge that it might seem a little odd to have someone suggest having more one-on-one time with a little one, especially for the person who is with the baby all of the time. But even though, you know, we often are, you know, somebody is usually tethered to the baby, and it feels like we're with them all the time, our days are also often filled with other things, you know, work that it takes to run a family, to keep a household together, you know, barely. And so, you know, there's laundry to be done, meals to cook if we can, diapers to change, showers that we might be able to slip into, errands that we have to do. So, and so we tend to get busy around our babies, and, you know, so even if we spend hours and hours with a baby, by the 3 o'clock in the afternoon rolls around, and we might find that we haven't actually connected with them yet. So, or, you know, on the flip side of that, some parents don't feel that connected to a newborn or a new baby when they come into the family. And that's not that uncommon, you know. It's this new person that you have to get to know and get used to. And so one solution or a part of a solution to some of those issues is this tool of special time. So what it looks like is for special time, you can set aside, you know, a small chunk of time to be with your baby without any distractions. And it's just a time you can really show him how happy you are that he's here. It gives you time to get to know who he is, and sometimes you'll notice your own feelings about your baby kind of bubble up when you do special time. And also for little ones who have had maybe a rough entry into the world, it can be an important source of connection and healing. But it has benefits for all babies, and one of the important benefits is that it can actually enhance a baby's developing brain. So in the first few years of life, a baby's brain is busy building really a complex wiring system. And there's been some recent brain research that has shown that an infant's environment really has a dramatic effect on brain development and how well his brain wires, which can result in how well he thinks and learns. And a baby's surroundings can actually enhance the number of electrical connections that are forming in his brain. There's just so much activity going on in there at that young age. And so a loving connection, you know, including responsive attention, affection, eye contact, and, you know, gentle communication is just a great way to encourage the formation of that brain circuitry in a baby. And so that's where special time comes in. You know, during special time, you want to put away the phone, set aside any chores that have to be done. And, you know, if there's a sibling or siblings around, just, you know, be sure that they're cared for so that there aren't any interruptions. If you can set that up, and we'll talk later about getting support to do this. So before you start, you know, something to keep in mind is that you want to make sure that your baby's physical needs are met. So, you know, you want to make sure that they're fed, that they're changed, their diaper is changed, that they're awake, and so that, you know, if some feelings bubble up for them or a baby, you know, the baby starts crying, we don't, of course, know exactly what it is, but we want to, you know, do what we can to make sure that it's not like a big physical issue. So then you can actually set a timer during special time, even with the baby. You know, you can set it for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15, and that can just help you stay focused. And then you want to just hold your baby close or prop him up. You can prop him up against your knees and just look at him and catch his gaze, and just let him know that you're there. Eye contact is really, really good for little babies. They really just drink it in. They like to study your face and watch your facial expressions, and they're really sensitive to, you know, how you're doing and what your facial expression is telling them and what your voice is telling them. They're, you know, keenly aware, kind of even at that very young age, of how you're doing. And so you just want to pour in the love and attention. And you can say, you know, things to the baby like, I'm so glad to be with you, you know, or, you know, I have 10 minutes just for you, or, you know, welcome, you made it. And as you talk to your baby, you want to do that in a soft tone. And notice how he responds. So you're not just talking at him, but you might say a few things like that and then wait and notice what he says back to you. So you're actually having a conversation with him, and you're listening to his response. And his response, of course, will be through, you know, his eyes, his expressions, his movements or sounds. And this back and forth process of talking is called contingent communication, and it's a really great way of, you know, getting started in a relationship with a little one. Because babies actually have literal thoughts that they want to express. And, you know, so they will talk to you, quote unquote, talk to you with their sounds and smiles or expressions. And so you want to listen to what they're saying. And then notice, like, if the baby looks away, you can, you know, turn to him and just, you know, follow his gaze and say, "Hi, I'm right here. You know, there you are. I see you." And if he starts to cry during these moments when you're doing special time and, you know, you've just fed him and changed him and you think that he's fairly comfortable, you can just listen to his upset. You can just listen to the crying. And, you know, he might be telling you something. We don't know. Well, he is telling you something. We don't know exactly what it is. But babies can actually, you know, from, you know, the moment they can come out, they can could be relieving some stress through their tears about anything, really, you know, something that happened to them the day before, that morning, or, you know, or a tense conversation they overheard, or even when you stepped away for a minute to go get the phone or, you know, put the diaper in the diaper pail. They're so sensitive to disconnections or separations and you know, everything. So they could be, you know, some tears about something. And, you know, I think in our most societies we're so used to hushing and shushing a baby. And so, you know, it's really actually great to get into the practice of listening to the tears instead of trying to quiet the baby down. And if he's experiencing gas pain or other kind of physical discomfort, you might just want to change his position a bit, but to continue to listen to him and, you know, just gently remind him that you're there and you'll be with him while he's, you know, feeling how he's feeling if he's upset. I remember I did a mom and baby group, I think it was a few years ago, and a mom, we would do special time in the group with the babies, so they'd have a chance to do it in the group. And one of the moms came in one day, and she was sharing at the very beginning of the group that her father had just passed away about a week before. And so she, you know, of course had been really sad, and she had been grieving a lot. But she said that her baby had been very good during that time, or that's how she experienced the baby. And, you know, he wasn't crying a lot. He was sleeping really well. He was eating well. And she said she was really thankful that, you know, she didn't have, like, a really cranky or grumpy baby that, you know, she could, you know, because she had so many feelings that were popping up for her, obviously, and she had been really sad. So anyway, so she told us that story at the beginning of the group, and then when we started to do special time with the baby, she propped her baby up in her knees and just, you know, poured in the attention. And all of a sudden, he just started screaming, crying. And she had just changed him, and he was just fed. And, you know, we don't know exactly what it was about, but he just really started crying. And so we all just kind of listened, and we smiled with him. And he had a big cry during that special time. And then a few minutes later, he actually fell asleep. But I thought it was interesting that she had said that, you know, she had just lost her father, and that sometimes, just as with older children, like, we don't have the room or the space to listen to their upset or their tears, especially if we have some big stuff going on for us. And so, you know, my sense was that, you know, as soon as she made that space, that, you know, the tears just came, whew, they came rushing out. But anyway, so special time can really help you attune to your baby's emotions. And during this time, you can really become familiar with his signals and, you know, have a chance to really care for him in a, you know, unhurried way. When they get a little older, we start leaving the house and rushing around and, you know, taking them here and there. And so that special time is kind of nice to do in a really relaxed way and to start building that kind of contingent communication where it's not just us talking at them, but we're listening to them as well. And so if you can carve out a few minutes every day for special time with your baby, that's great. And it can really stimulate brain growth. It can, you know, heal any hurts that may have settled in. Just it's a really wonderful way to connect with a baby. And so this kind of special time can actually be really nice for fathers or other co-parents or grandparents as well that, you know, maybe are not, you know, the one that's feeding the baby all the time or who don't feel like the primary caregiver. I think fathers, especially if they have a female partner who's nursing and home with the baby, can feel like they're not that important in the first few months of infancy, and that's just not true. Fathers, grandfathers, uncles, stepdads are really vital in a newborn's life, and babies can recognize their father's voice even from before they were born. And a baby will look for, you know, her father and listen for him and really expect his love. And you know, that special time is just a really great way for a father as well as anyone else to, you know, quote unquote, nurse a baby with connection time. So it's a good thing to think about and, you know, maybe talk to other people that are in the baby's life about and think about, you know, spending that type of time with them as well. Okay, and then, Laura, you have a little story about your daughter, yeah?
Yeah, thank you, Julie. That was lovely. I want to just give one little example of spending some special time with a newborn. When my daughter was about 6 or 7 weeks, we started to have kind of a regular time set up each day when we would communicate, and I would actually kind of, you know, it was a time when she was alert and awake and sort of had like a really kind of bright look in her eyes, and it would happen, I think, around 11 o'clock in the morning. And I would ask her, you know, are you ready to do a special time? And she would get a look on her face, her eyebrows would go up, and she would really connect with my eyes. And so there was really some communication happening. She really knew what was going on and responded. And so we would spend some time just doing a conversation where I would make eye contact and she would follow and watch what I was doing or imitate even, you know, I'd stick my tongue out and she would do the same. And then usually I could tell when she was done. She would just, the communication would kind of end with her looking away and giving a pretty clear sign that she had kind of filled up on this conversation. She was ready to stop. And it was really an opportunity to start to know what her signals were and to respond accordingly. And she started to really trust that I knew what she was feeling. And this was also a time that would make her really relaxed. And she would usually cry a little bit and go to sleep or have a really good nap after that kind of communication.
That's great. We also wanted to mention here that special time can be used with an older child if you have, you know, another little one around or more than that. And what can be really nice is before the baby comes along, if there is an older sibling, is to really carve out time for special time before the baby comes. So you can make a date each week with your older child, you know, to do whatever he wants to do, you know. And again, it doesn't have to be for a big chunk of time. It can be, you know, depending on the age of the child, they usually say that, you know, usually for a little one, you can do 10, 15, 20 minutes. We suggest not more than an hour because that can be very, feel like a really long time to just sort of pour in the attention and do whatever the child wants to do or play whatever they want to play. But it's a really nice way to kind of shore up a child before a baby comes along. And, you know, and then with an older child, just with special time, you know, you can also set the timer. You want to really try to refrain from giving advice or instructions or suggestions during that time and just really follow her lead and, you know, see where she goes and what she wants to do. And then the idea is to keep up the special time after the baby is born. Your child will, you know, really look forward to having you all to herself, even just for a few minutes at a time when the new baby comes along. So it's a really great practice for both older siblings and a baby. And you can figure out how to use special time strategically for older ones. So, you know, if a mom is nursing, you know, that can be a time, or just feeding the baby in general, that I hear that a lot, that, you know, that's a time when a toddler that's around or an older child starts to, you know, act out or, you know, have some challenging behaviors or really want attention, you know, desperate for attention right at that time. So you can try to do even just a few minutes of connection of special time before nursing or after feeding. But really try to get that in a regular way with an older sibling as well. So, and then, Laura, you've had that experience with special time with an older one, yeah?
Yeah. I would just really briefly want to tell a quick story about how much it also really helped me to feel it sort of almost felt nourishing to have this time with my older kids when I was feeling so just spending so much time with the newborn and really doing the work of taking care of a brand new baby who needed me so much, to have this chunk of time where I was just with my 4-year-old, such a burst of energy and love. And I could see in her eyes that it felt like an amazing, you know, amazing opportunity just to have her all to myself, all to herself. So I just want to say that it's, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about building community so that you will be able to do this. But I also want to say that it's really worth it and really can feel like such a great thing to do for yourself, too, as well as a parent, to make some uninterrupted time with your older siblings. Julie, I think I'm going to talk about listening partnerships just a little bit right now.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. Okay. So the listening partnership tool in hand-in-hand parenting is really powerful. And the reason that we wanted to talk about it with this topic is that while you are going through a transition, doing the work of bringing a new person into your family, it's an amazing way to also support yourself and so that you're thinking clearly and thinking well. Being listened to with good attention and support really nourishes us. A central part of hand-in-hand parenting's approach is building support for your parenting. And at this time, while you're welcoming a new person into your family, it's an especially important time to build that support. As you kind of look inward to your feelings and places where you struggle, you sort of can begin to begin that process. And the listening partner is someone who can hold the safe space for you to kind of provide you some extra safety as you begin to work on that process. I just want to spend a minute or two talking about what the listening partnership tool actually looks like. In a listening partnership, a parent has safe space to work on think about, plan, or just feel without interruption or judgment. And it's different from a conversation, because in a listening partnership, your listener is there for you, holding the thought that you're good and that you will figure it out. Usually a listening partnership takes place at a planned time, like weekly. Sometimes people meet more often, or sometimes people will just have it set up more as a as needed kind of thing. It can be in person or over the phone or on Skype. And your listener listens with the heart without interruption or judgment. In the safety that develops in a listening partnership, you can work on worries, guilt, places where you're confused. And it's possible that some feelings that you're carrying take your energy, and they could be coming from your experience as a child yourself. If you're supported in a safe space, you can look inward and begin to feel and release some of the hurt and fear that you maybe have stored from your own experiences. And my experience is so much more clear thinking will follow. And you'll have more energy available, and you'll be better able to use your energy for the parenting job that's in front of you. For example, one of the things that in my own experience, I've had times where I felt like feelings of not being supported, and just having time with a listener who is there and able to be with you while you kind of release some of that feeling, maybe shed some tears, it can really shift that feeling of the lack of support that we all feel as parents. And it's a way to shift and move beyond and come up with solutions. The hand-in-hand parenting.org site has good resources about listening partnerships for beginning the process, and it's such an important part of building support for your parenting and being present for your children. It's also a really good tool to use as you're preparing to add a new person to your family. You can work on whatever's coming up for you, maybe even telling your own story about your own life. You may find you have some feelings about your own experience. And then you can work on any fears you have, or focus on what it is you want to see in your family with the safety of someone to listen to you. Listening partnerships have had a huge impact for me and my parenting. I also know of a fellow instructor who tells the story of her daughter's newborn life, when she was really struggling to listen to her daughter's cries. And when she began to use a listening partner to listen to her own frustration about what it was like to hear her daughter crying and all of that overwhelm that she felt, she began to be able to just listen more easily to her daughter's cries, and everything kind of shifted. And she was able to be much more calm with her own parenting because of having someone else who could listen to her and listen to her feelings as she was raising her newborn.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That was just reminding me, just how triggering it can be to have a crying baby. And just, you know, hear those tears a lot. I remember in one of my mom and baby groups, a mom came who she was hesitant about coming to the group because her baby cried so much, but she wasn't, you know, getting out of the house. She wasn't going anywhere. And so she was on top of that becoming depressed. And so we talked on the phone before she came to the group, and she said, "Will there be other babies crying there?" Because my baby cries all the time. And I said, "Oh, yeah, don't worry. You know, there'll be lots of other crying babies there." So she came on that first day, and she looked really nervous, and, you know, she'd barely been getting out of the house. And she came, and the baby started crying because the baby always cried, she said, when they went out, when they left. And this was in a pediatric office, and one of the nurse practitioners happened to be available. And so because the mom felt really uncomfortable about coming into the group that day, it was the first day, and, you know, just sitting there with her crying baby. So so one person took the baby, and then the mom the nurse practitioner talked to this new mom for a while, just sat with her, and the mom just cried and cried with the nurse practitioner about how hard it was, you know, to not be able to leave the house, and how hard it was to deal with the crying, and I could just see, like, this huge thing, like, you know, relief lifted after, you know, she had this moment to sit with her, and then she joined the group, and her baby actually settled down a bit in the group, and anyway, it just got progressively easier and easier, and she then, you know, developed a listening partnership. And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say about that, or should I talk about community?
Yeah, I think it's a great time to talk about building more community to support your
mm-hmm.
family.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, clearly the listening partnership is a really great way to get support and build community. And just, you know, because parenting is really one of the least supported jobs in our society, it just can be so stressful and isolating, and particularly when you have a newborn or baby and, you know, like we've been saying, if you're not getting out of the house much or seeing friends or doing things for yourself, it can get really hard after a while. And so one, you know, some, I want to talk about a couple ways or a few ways that can mitigate some of that stress and isolation in addition to the listening partnership. So one thing is that if you already have a child or children before the baby comes, it can be helpful to start, you know, before a new baby is born to find people in your life. And, you know, you might have this, you probably have those people already, but that your child enjoys spending time with. So, you know, you could invite them over and, you know, often or set up dates, whether it's like another adult or a play date. If that goes well before the baby comes, to start setting up play dates for your older child, or one-on-one time with any other adults, with grandparents, relatives, or friends. And, you know, sometimes people really want to ask you what they can do, and they want to be helpful, and they want to be a part, you know, of your child's life. And so that can be a nice way to do it, is just they can even, you know, your older child can do special time, let's say, with other people around. I had one mom in my class who, she grew up with a chronically ill mom, and she had three other sisters, and the sisters didn't get along that well, so there was a lot of conflict in the family. But she said that each of them had someone special, another adult in their life that would spend one-on-one time with them. And for this mom, it was one of the aunts that she just loved, that actually took her on some short vacations, just her and not with any other family member around, and did special things for her. And she just remembers that aunt so fondly. It made such a big difference in her life. And so, you know, I encourage families to ask other people to help out a lot if you can. You know, some people want to cook food. They want to make meals. But, you know, I think sometimes people hesitate to ask for help. I was just talking to a couple that are here in the San Francisco Bay Area where I am, and they have a one-year-old, and they're really new to the area. They just moved here, and they really want to have more community, and they do have some friends, but they're feeling really isolated, and they want to get out more. And so they said they had some friends that have been saying, you know, we will babysit, you know, please invite us over to babysit. We'll do that. And you can, you know, go out, have time together, you know, talk to other people. And so they told me, you know, over the phone, they were saying, well, we don't want to burden our friends. And so I really encourage them to take their friends up on that offer, because I think people really do want to be helpful, and they feel good when they can. I think another part of this, though, is that, you know, sometimes when we bring other people into our homes, it can be stressful, or, you know, other issues can come up. I was also just talking to another mom who has a 3-week-old and a 3-year-old, and she's really needing support. And I asked her who she might call on to come over, and she said, well, my mother-in-law is around and she's available, but she's not always the first person that I want to see. But she's really good with the kids, and so she's really good with her 3-year-old. So I think sometimes, you know, we have to kind of, to get that kind of help and support, we have to make some, you know, space. And you know, if you get triggered by the people that are coming in to your life, you know, you can deal with some of those issues in a listening partnership. That can be helpful. But, you know, it can be good to kind of identify where are your friends and families, where are their strengths, and have them, you know, do what they're good at. So if someone loves to cook and, you know, you just want them to leave a meal on the porch, maybe they can do that. there's sites like, you know, online sites like lotsahelpinghands.com. It's lotsahelpinghands.com. And that's a good resource to, you know, friends and family want to coordinate meals after a baby is born. You can have them, you know, some people really like to kind of set up that kind of network online to help out, or even, you know, even to have people come over and, you know, take the baby while you sleep, or, you know, play with an older child. Yeah, some people hire a postpartum doula, or, you know, again, just tapping on friends and relatives to come over and to help out where they can. So those are just a few ideas to kind of start percolating, you know, help people think about who in your life can you bring in.
Yeah. So, and you can kind of just find people building your village by banding together, and as you begin to find the friends who will support you, you can know that in the future you'll probably be able to return the favor. So, like Julie said, sometimes people feel that they can't ask for help, but it's a really important part of supporting other parents, asking for help when you need it, and knowing that you'll get a chance to repay the favor in the future. The idea of the village has to start with us asking for help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think I'd like to summarize some of the things that we've discussed so far, and then we'll be able to start taking some questions. Julie, do you have anything else you'd like to say before I kind of wrap up and do the summary?
No, that sounds good. Yeah.
Okay. Today we talked about the hand-in-hand tool of special time and just, and how a short time of eye contact and focused uninterrupted attention can build your baby's brain. We also talked about how special time can really support your relationship with your older children as you welcome a new child to your family, and how it can support co-parents in developing strong relationships. And then we discussed getting support for yourself with listening partnerships and building a community of support among your friends and family and other people in your life.
Okay, good. So you want to open up the line in a minute to questions? Did you want to add anything else, Laura?
No, sure. Now that we've shared our thinking about welcoming a new person to your family, we'd love to hear from you. And if you have a question, just hit *2, and that will let us know that you've got a question. And we'd love to see how we can help you with anything. So go ahead and please raise your hand with *2 if you would like to ask a question.
Okay, and I'll just say while we're waiting for hands to go up, just so that people know, if you are interested in finding out more about Parenting by Connection and how to use it in your family, I actually do free consultations over the phone. And if you want to sign up for one of those, you can go to momconsult.com. You could be a dad, too, or anybody. It's momconsult.com, momconsult.com, and that connects to my bigger website, but I just thought that was an easy thing to remember. And if you're local to the San Francisco Bay Area, I'm offering an in-person mom and baby group in the first week of June. It's a 6-week group in Alameda, California, at a pediatrician's office. And we'll actually do special time, get to try it in the group, and we'll talk, you know, a lot more about how to connect with a baby, how to handle crying, sleeping, eating, all sorts of things. Some of the staff come in to do a Q&A as well to provide even more information. That starts Thursday, June 8th at 12 p.m. If you're interested in that, you can also contact me via momconsult.com or parentchildconnection@gmail.com. And that's parentchildconnection@gmail.com if you have any questions or want to set up a consultation. Okay. So, and Laura, did you have anything coming up you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I have a 6-week class coming up, and it's in Austin, Texas, starting June 12th, and we will meet on the east side at a place called Bloom Lab. I'd love to hear from you if you're interested in joining this group. It'll be a really amazing little series. And my Facebook page is Listening for Good, kind of like Listening Partnership, Listening for Good. And I also have a website, listeningforgood.com, and I'll have all the information about the group forming up there. I'd love to, you can private message me through Facebook or the website as well.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. So, we had a question. Where did it go?
I don't know.
Someone had their hand up.
Yeah, if someone got disconnected, hopefully they will call back quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. So, star 2 to raise your hand if you have any questions at all about listening partnerships, special time, anything at all. We'd love to chat about it.
Yeah. Let's see. Star 2, if you have any questions. Also, if you're interested in staying connected via Facebook, you may already be a part of it, or you may not, but Hand in Hand has a Facebook group, Hand in Hand Support, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are lots and lots of people in there that, lots of questions and answers in there, which is, can be helpful. That can be a nice supportive place. We have, there are, of course, more VTEL seminars that happen every month. And as you mentioned already, Laura, in the beginning, but just to remind people, there are lots of ways to stay connected and get more information. Let's see.
Yeah, another good resource is the book Listen by Patty Whipler. It's a really fairly new book. It's got so many resources about the hand-in-hand parenting tools. And I feel like it's one of the things that every parent should own. It's just a really good thing that will take you through your parenting journey. So I really recommend getting a copy of Listen if you can. It should be in bookstores and definitely on our website.
Yeah, that's a great resource. And that's a new book. Yeah, that's come out really recently. So, okay, let's see. I don't see any questions at the moment. Okay, well, maybe we can just remind people how to get in touch with us. If you have a question, again, you can go to momconsult.com if you want to set up a time with me, or parentchildconnection@gmail.com. And then, Laura, do you want to remind them of your website?
Sure. Yeah, I have a website called listeningforgood.com. And I know that the handinhandparenting.org site has our bio information. I believe my email address is up there, and since my name is so hard to spell, I hate to give it out, not in writing, but you can email me. But if you look on the handinhandparenting.org site, you can find the instructor bios. My email address is my last name, which is hard to spell, Minigrode. But Hand in Hand Parenting also offers self-paced classes that can be really helpful. You can get more information about online classes that you may be interested in. It's really just an amazing place in terms of finding support for your parenting. As we mentioned at the beginning, there's free teleseminars offered on a really regular basis that you can sign up for and get the audio emailed to you. And then we also have some other really good self-paced courses that are just an amazing resource. So I really encourage people to check out handinhandparenting.org. It may help you to get to a new place in your parenting that you with that support that you can find through Hand in Hand.
Yeah. Okay, great. Looks like there are no questions yet, so we'll kind of wrap up there.
Yeah. I hope that maybe the caller that we lost can call back. And I encourage anyone, just hit star 2 if you have anything at all you want to bring up, even just, quick question, anything that we can help you with. We would love to chat more about this topic.
And just as a reminder, there'll be a replay as well, so you'll see that in your inbox fairly shortly, maybe tomorrow or the next day, but that comes out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So, it looks like we do have a question. Okay, a couple questions are popping up now. So I'm going to unmute someone whose phone is in Oakland, California. Hi, you're unmuted.
Hi, I am in Oakland, California. Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfectly.
Cool. So I just wanted to ask a follow-up question about the listening partnership, which is is there a way through hand-in-hand parenting to connect with people? Because I don't know that I know anyone personally who would be available for that. So,
there are a few different ways. So we mentioned the Facebook group, Hand-in-Hand Parent Support. And are you a part of that yet?
I just sent in a request when you mentioned it.
Oh, great. Okay. So that's a place where people often look for listening partners there. So that's one possibility. There's also, there is a secret group on Facebook that you won't be able to find, but it's for people who are looking for listening partnerships as well, and that's all. So, the parent support group on Facebook is pretty big. There are lots of people in it, but it is it's a fine place to look for a listening partner. But the other one is just smaller and just focused on people looking for listening partnerships. So that's a possibility. We'd need to get your email. And, if you want to be added to that, we just need to get your email, and then we can add you to that group. So that's a possibility. Let's see. And then, also sometimes it can be a little tricky, like finding a listening partner at first and then, getting something started. So sometimes like joining a group can be really helpful. In my groups that I do over the phone, I connect people, each week to do a listening partnership. So if you find that, you're having trouble kind of linking to someone that sticks, it can be good to just join a group. Another thought. Laura, do
there's
you have
also
any other?
There's a Yahoo group. I think it's just a Hand in Hand Parenting Yahoo group, and that is another place that people look for listening partners. And it can actually be somebody who's not close to you. If you're wanting to do it with Skype or as a phone call, you can even end up with someone who's in on a different continent, but the time zones just kind of match up. So, there's kind of the digital route, and then there's looking for someone locally which you might be able to find also with the Facebook group or the Hand in Hand Yahoo group.
It's a good point. I mean, people are looking for listening partners all over the world, which is really neat. I think And it's just, you know, amazing to connect with someone that's in a different area. But, you know, sometimes it can get tricky with time zones. So anyway, so those are some suggestions. Does that help?
It does. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Yeah, and just reach out if you have any other questions.
All right, thank you.
Okay, sure. Let's see. So it looks like Melinda in Pittsburgh. I'm going to unmute you. Hi. Is this Melinda?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah,
Hi, my question is, do you guys have any recommendations or experience with trying to create special moments, like with a lot of kids, a big family, you know,
yeah.
lots of adults? You know, I'm just thinking about trying to create special moments over the summer, during travel trips, just trying to nourish the kids. And it wouldn't be that necessarily one-on-one time all at once, but just doing things that we're making a lot of eye contact with each other and we're having fun and I don't know. Do you have any advice or ideas about that?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. You know, Laura, you might want to start us off with this since you have three. But, yeah, do you want to – I have a few different thoughts. But, Laura, do you want to say something here?
I think that's a great thing to be thinking about. And like you said, the eye contact and that just being together is really so special. You know, that is what kids really want and need from us, is just knowing that they have us, they have our complete attention. And I guess my thought would be that just already by, you know, you're thinking about how to make time, and maybe if there are ways, you mentioned there's a lot of adults, maybe there are some ways where you can create a little bit of one-on-one time. If there's enough adults to kind of do a group activity with one group and then have some time where the child really, where one of the children can get some focused time from you or another parent who can really just follow the lead of the child and really delight in the child, that one child who's getting the attention, can just have a few minutes or however, you know, kind of a chunk of uninterrupted time where they really get to feel what it feels like to have someone pay some special attention to them, whether it means, you know, setting a timer and having that time set aside, or even just kind of an unannounced special time where someone's really getting the benefit of some adult attention really focused on them. I don't know if that can work for you, but I do think that if you have hands and willing people involved, you may be able to carve out little bits of it, and it would be, I know it will really feel like a wonderful time for your family, your children, and the adults.
Yeah, that's good. The other thing I was thinking about is the tool of play listening that we didn't talk about today, but is one of the Parenting by Connection tools. I don't know how familiar you are with you know, the listening tools that we mentioned in the beginning. But play listening can be a really nice way of connecting with more than one child at a time. You know, special time is wonderful, but, you know, sometimes with a lot of kids it's hard to figure out how to set up that time. And so, you know, I don't know how old your kids are, and so it would depend what you do with them. But, you know, something like a family pillow fight or, you know, depending on how old they are, you know, we were just talking about horsey rides in, there's a hand-in-hand group for preteen and older kids, and, you know, some parents were saying, oh, we're doing horsey rides, and now, you know, the teenager is like, you know, now I'm on his back. you know, and so just play listening is this idea where, you know, you just want to do things that generate laughter and, you know, giggles, and so there's lots of different play listening games and ideas depending on the age that can be really nice for a family and really bring people together. So,
Great idea. I love that.
Does that help? Does that answer somewhat?
Let me see. I think.
Is he still there?
Sorry, I think you got muted. Melinda, are you still there? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I think those are wonderful ideas, and I like the I like the idea of short periods with mm-hmm. different ones at different times, because that can be spontaneous. That can just naturally happen, I think, when you have more adults available. And I like the idea of having the really rambunctious fun and play with everyone. I have a wide variety of ages. I have a tween, preschooler, a toddler, and an infant. So it's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And I was also just thinking that, you know, you can do something called an announced special time. It doesn't have to be that formal, you know, where you set a timer and say, okay, we have 10 minutes. You can, let's say the others are occupied in some way, and there's just, you know, if there's a moment where one is, you know, kind of free and the others are somehow occupied, and you just kind of go and sit next to the person that, you know, one person, and just pour in the attention, and, you know, even just for a few minutes, and in your mind, you're kind of doing special time by being really present with that one child, mm-hmm. even when there are other things going on around you, and other, you know, kids might be talking or playing, but you just kind of move in, and, you know, it might be engaging for a few minutes in, you know, a puzzle that someone's doing, or I don't know what it would be, but, you know, without saying that it's special time, but just moving in and giving attention. So that's one way to think about it as well, and that can be really nice.
Mm-hmm. That sounds really smart. I can also see how that could work really well in a classroom.
Yeah, it's a great, it definitely can be used. I know people have used it in a school setting as well.
Yeah, that is cool. Thank you so much.
Okay, yeah, thanks so much for being here today and for calling in. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. If there are any other questions, you can press *2. We've a few minutes over the hour here. Okay.
Yeah, well, we hope we've given you some ideas that can help you with your family. We know it's just an hour call, and all these wonderful tools take practice. So we would love to continue to work with you and support you. You can find us online, and we'd love to stay in touch that way if more questions come up. Julie, do you have anything else you want to say?
No, I think that's good. I think we sort of, you know, wrapped it up, and really good questions that came up. And, again, thank you everyone for listening in and being here today. And, it was really a pleasure to get to talk about this stuff. So thank you, everyone, for being here.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Julie, it's been wonderful to work with you. I've enjoyed it so much. And thank you for all your great information that you've shared. Thank you to everyone out there doing the job of being a parent, and really hope that you will get to know more about Hand in Hand's tools for supporting you on your in your really hard, important work that you're doing every single day. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for joining us. Hand in Hand is here to help you get the support you need for your work as a parent. To download podcasts on additional parenting topics, go to handinhandparenting.org/store. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.